I was working full time, and I figured if I ate nothing but ramen noodles, I would have more drinking money. The one day I ate something aside from ramen noodles was payday, and I would go to McDonald's and I'd get a Big Mac meal. I kind of froze in the doorway. Behind the counter was an elderly black woman working. She had this beaming, amazing smile. She's asking me about my day. She's just super nice and pleasant, and it made things really difficult for me as I'm trying to hate black people. I got this swastika tattooed on my middle finger of my right hand. This was by design so that when people reflected my hostility, I could show them my middle finger on my right hand before closing into a fist and hitting them. This gut reaction I had was like, I don't want her to see this tattoo. And I sat there for a minute thinking, does anybody else work here? Where are there other McDonald's? It was pretty far and it was cold out, so the siren song of the Big Mac ultimately prevailed, and I'm thinking I'm just going to keep my hand in my pocket. She won't see the swastika. But she saw it as I was getting my money out. What is that on your finger? I just looked down at my boots, and I was a good foot taller than her at the time, but I felt like 6 inches high when she asked me that. She waited until I looked up again, and when I did and our eyes met, she said, "That's not who you are. I know you're a better person than that."
Woke up that morning. It was a Sunday morning, a beautiful Sunday morning in August. I was just getting my kids ready for Sunday school. My wife had gone to work already, and we were going to meet up with my wife later.
This is Pardeep Kalika.
My daughter tends to lollygag when she gets ready, so I'm always kind of hurrying her along. We left the house, and about 5 minutes or 10 minutes later, she tells me that she left her Sunday school notebook at the house. My initial reaction was just to keep going forward and just explain to the teacher that she forgot her notebook. But she was pretty insistent, so we turned back around, and, you know, luckily we did. She went back, she got her notebook, we got back on the freeway, and continued on to the Gurdwara, Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. From our peripheral, saw a bunch of squad cars from different jurisdictions going past us. Lights and sirens, high rate of speed. Maybe about a mile or half a mile from the Sikh Temple, a police officer barricaded the street. So I pulled over to the side, got out of my car and asked the police officer, "Sir, what's going on?" He looks at me and tells me that there's been a shooting at the temple. I heard what he had to say, but it was just so surreal that I needed him to say it again for me to process it.
There's been a shooting at the temple.
I try to convince him to allow me to get through. I tell him, my mom and dad are both inside that temple. He's not having any of it. I ask him, I said, "When did this shooting happen?" 10 minutes ago.
There's been a shooting at the temple.
In that moment, I just remember this extreme sense of relief for myself and my kids that my daughter forgot that notebook at the house. But I also had this extreme sense of guilt, this roller coaster ride of emotions. Who was safe, who was not. Eventually, by the end of the day, we would find out that Dad was one of the 6 victims, and that he wouldn't make it.
Pardeep Kalika's father was shot on August 5th, 2012. That was the day a 40-year-old white man, Wade Michael Page, attacked the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. He killed 6 people, including Pardeep's father. Now, in the aftermath, Pardeep tried to process what had happened. And as it happens, he's actually a trauma therapist himself, so he knows something about facing pain. And he wound up reaching out in this extraordinary way to a former white supremacist, a guy named Arno Michaelis, who was one of the original founders of the hate group that the Temple shooter belonged to. Arno had left that world. By this time, he was spending a lot of time as an anti-Nazi, trying to deprogram young skinheads. And so 2 months after the massacre, these two men met at a local Thai restaurant, and they talked for hours. Charles Monroe came, asked them to tell their story.
Pardeep, you reached out to Arno only a few months after the massacre. Why?
You know, one word answer is understanding. I think a lot of times we do things and we think that we understand. And we take stuff as gospel, as far as like somebody telling us something, and we echo chamber ourselves. We build silos from these echo chambers, and we do this subconsciously. That it was very important for me to reach out to somebody who can give me the authenticity that this tragedy deserved. I wanted to reach out to understand, and I also had a feeling that Arno had the same feelings that I did. And so I believed in that spirit, and I reached out to Arno, and I met at the restaurant, and I definitely got a better understanding of why the shooter did what he did. But more importantly than that, I gained a friend that would be an ally going forward for our community.
You know, Arno, I got to interrupt and ask a question to you, if you can answer it honestly for me. What were you before you changed?
I actually made Wade Pagely pretty tame. I started a white power skinhead gang in Milwaukee with some friends of mine. That gang linked up with other white power skinhead gangs around the country. And today, that skinhead gang is the largest organized white power skinhead group on earth. For 7 years, I lived that life, and I recruited people. I specifically looked for wounded white kids, kids who had been through some trauma. They were the ones who were most ripe for our message. I recruited vehemently all the time, and if you didn't get recruited by me, I was just as happy to break your face for you. And I got in street fights constantly. I would attack pretty much anybody arbitrarily at any given time just for the thrill of violence. And I was a lead vocal for a very popular white power band. In many ways, I was exactly who Wade Page used to be. He was part of the same gang I had helped to start. He was also in white power bands. I would be stunned if he had never heard of my band, and I would not be surprised if he was a fan of the music that I made, screaming at people to go and murder each other because of the color of their skin.
I can't imagine. I mean, you're a former white supremacist. What was it like to get an email from Pardeep? I mean, that must have been incredible. What was that like?
I was actually super excited. I was really honored. In the week following August 5th, I did a ton of media. I was doing media like 8 to 10 hours a day from all over the world because I had been doing peace education work as like a former white supremacist for a couple of years already at that point, and I already had a pretty high profile. And I had real mixed feelings about all the media I was doing because I was in this transition point where I was going from being an IT consultant to being a professional speaker, author. And honestly, nothing better could have happened to my prospective career than the Sikh Temple shooting.
Wow.
And the entire time I'm doing all these interviews, I've just wanted to go back to rebooting servers if it could have brought these six people back. But at the same time, there's always a part of me internally that wants to beat myself up for who I was and what I've done. And that part of me was very much at the forefront, right, saying like, oh, good job, Arno. Why don't you go get some speaking gigs and sell some books? Because six people are dead.
Pardeep, I wonder at this point when you guys are having dinner together, were you aware of how far behind Arno had put his past? And was that part of the reason you wanted to talk to him?
No, at this point, I really wasn't aware how far his history was, or like, you know, if you put it in the past even.
So you didn't know that he had really changed?
No, I mean, I had, you know, wow. I kind of had a hunch that he changed, But as the dinner date was getting closer and closer and closer, and as I shared with family and friends what I was about to do and who I was about to talk to.
I would assume your mom did not like that at all.
No, mom didn't like that. My wife didn't like that. There's people who were in the Sikh community who had just gone through this.
Pardeep, what did you get out of meeting with Arno? It seems like he was a racist, violent man, kind of the opposite of who you were. It's like, it seems like you have a lot to offer him, but what does he get out of that for you?
So, I mean, just come back to understanding. If you don't understand why somebody would be able to do something like this and have answers, I don't think that you can genuinely process and heal. You can fake it. I was definitely faking it after August 5th because I knew we had to put on a brave face for the world. For me, Arnold has been my greatest therapist, and I am a therapist. So I could say he's been my brother, my confidant. We've had a lot of battles together. And these battles are political, these battles are personal. But as far as, like, you know, why we find ourselves there together, I believe in the divine spirit. And I believe somehow, some way, the divine spirit brought us together.
Arno, how do you, when you're having dinner with him and then you become friends, work together, how do you not just feel guilty all the time for your past? I'm just curious how you aren't just overcome by guilt every time you see him.
I want to make a positive impact in the world. I understand that if I'm beating myself up and if I'm drowning in guilt for what I've done, that it diminishes my capacity to have a positive impact in the world.
Yeah.
And not that I don't deserve to beat myself up. And I've spent a very long time doing that.
I bet.
And I felt that I deserved nothing but suffering. I did not deserve love. I did not deserve happiness. Because of what I had done and because of who I was. And Pardeep has taught me that that doesn't help anybody. That doesn't honor his father. It doesn't honor the other five lives left on August 5th. It doesn't honor anybody who's suffering if I'm tormenting myself like this. What does honor them is when I am out cultivating compassion and kindness and forgiveness in society, because those qualities are what makes our society one that's less conducive to the kind of violence that happened on August 5th.
You know, Pardeep, your philosophy and what you and Arno work on, it seems that it's about compassion, forgiveness, but it seems to put a lot of pressure on the victim, which would be you in this instance, to be a part of the solution. Like, is that always the best way to do this?
Well, I mean, I'll speak for myself on this. I wanted that pressure. When we give pressure to somebody, we also give power. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about reclaiming a sense of power. And we want to make it that forgiveness is not really about forgetting. And the forgiveness is a survivor's vengeance against what happened to them and their ability to come back from that. And even the first time, I know that Arnold talked a lot about who he used to be and all the bad things that he used to be. But the first time that I saw Arnold, I didn't see all that. I saw a person that was still suffering and still in pain. And when we can see that, we can see the humanity within each other. And first and foremost, Sikhism teaches is to see that God-like spirit within the next person, that the spirit is alive in every person. Mm-hmm. And if I'm really going to be a Sikh, I have to see that same spirit in the shooter, Wade Michael Page. I have to see that this person was actually a person and not a monster. And I have to understand that it's different that we're fighting against racism or racists, because a racist is a people. Yeah. And when we personalize it to say, you know what, it's that person, and we don't understand the suffering and the pain that has caused that, then we're just washing our hands of being the solution or ever solving anything like that.
You know, that's the most beautiful thing I've heard in a really long time. Thank you both very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joel.
That's Charles Monroe Kane talking with Pardeep Kalika and Arno Michaelis. You can read more about their journey in their forthcoming book called The Gift of Our Wounds, A Sikh and a Former White Supremacist Find Forgiveness. They've also co-founded the group Serve to Unite, which works to create climates of compassion and nonviolence.